But anyway, let's bow our heads and let's come before our God and just give him thanks for all the wonderful things that he's doing in our lives and all the wonderful things that he did the past month in Mexico. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and come before our Father in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, and it's so excited, Lord, to come back home, Lord God, and to share with your people, Lord God, how awesome you are, Lord. How wonderful you are, Father, and how faithful you are, Lord. When we read your scriptures, Father God, and we believe in them, Lord, we go out, Lord, and do the work of them in the mission field, Lord. We see you there, Lord Jesus, all over, before us, Lord. And Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for my brothers, Lord, who prayed day and night, Lord God, for Mexico. Would you bless them, Lord? Would you answer their prayers, Father God, even as we speak tonight, Lord? I pray, Father God, that you will answer their prayers, Father. And I know that you have answered so many of those prayers already, Lord. But I pray again, Father God, if there is something that still remains to be answered, would you, by your mercy and your grace, Father, would you speak to us tonight? And Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Would you direct us, Lord? Would you direct us this evening, Lord? Which way, Lord, do you want us to go as a church? Which way, Lord, do you want us to go in our journey with you, Lord God? Which direction would you want us to go, Lord? Would you speak to each one of us here, Lord God? And if there's somebody here, Lord, in our congregation this evening, that has not started that journey with Jesus Christ, would you, Lord, would you touch our heart this evening, Lord? Would you open the mind, Holy Spirit? And would you minister, Lord, by the way of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord? Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom, thank you for believing God, gosh, for believing, Lord, brother, that God has a calling upon my life and my wife's. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Thank you for your heart for missions. Thank you. I want to thank the assistant pastors. What an encouragement they have been in the past 6 years in my life and my wife and my children. And I want to thank you all. Brothers and sisters, every time I come to church and I see your faces, you have no idea how encouraged I am. Just by seeing you, I know that you're going through tough times in your lives. I know that. You know how I know that? Because I am going through tough times in life also. And if you are a child of God, you either are, like Pastor Tom says now and then, you either coming out of the trial or in the middle of the trial, or just about going into a trial. But there is always something going on in our lives. You know why is that? Because we are not of this world. We're just passing by. Our home is in heaven. And we just can't wait to get there. So I want to thank you all for your prayers. It will not be possible without your prayers, my brothers. I want you to know that before the Lord. We go out putting our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he is going before us. But at the same time, when I know that our church is praying for us, it just makes it so much easier. So much easier. So I want to thank you, all of you, and each and every one of you who contribute to this trip financially. God bless you. We spend every penny in the work of the Lord. Every single penny. I think we went out to eat once. Once? Yes. So we did really good. We were so busy we didn't have time to go out and eat. But praise God. My brothers, I want you to open your Bibles and the book of Acts chapter 9. And I just wanted to read a few verses. I don't want to make this too long because I want to get to the slideshow. I want you, brothers and sisters, to see, to know the people of Mexico whom God sent us to assist, to teach, to minister, to encourage. And if God already has opened the door for us to go and start a church, and that is exactly what we're going to do in the name of the Lord. Chapter 9, my brothers and sisters, we're going to read the few verses in chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, and that is the word that I kind of really highlight in my heart. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He was on his journey. In this word really got my attention. And you know what, my brothers, I want to share with you. Back in 1985, I was on my journey. For 22 years of my life, I was on my journey. But in 1985, somebody spoke to me about Jesus. And as we see here, when Saul, we continue reading in verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And that was me. I didn't see that bright light, shining light, like if it was a noonday. But you know what? The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shone on my heart so bright that after that night of June 20th, 1985, Jesus Christ changed my life. He saved me. He saved me. The next morning I woke up and I just don't have the desire to go and do the things that I was doing before. Then I began my journey with the Lord. That's how I began. For 22 years on my Christian walk, I could not advance on my journey. I was always running into this such a tall wall in my Christian walk. I just didn't know how to go over the wall. Very difficult for my wife and I as we live our first 22 Christian years, our first 22 years in walking with the Lord. It was very difficult until, you know what, my brothers and sisters, we spent 7 or 8 years listening to CSN. And that's what we believe that kept us alive in the Lord. We wanted and we so desire more, and there was nowhere to find it. We look for, we search, we pray, we ask, we cry before God. Is this all there is, Lord? We believe that there is more of you that we know of. Until one day, my wife and I decided, I told my wife, we pray, should we go to Calvary Chapel? And she goes, let's go. By this time, we were going to another different church. So I grabbed my two children, my two boys, and I told them we're going to go to a different church. So they were not very happy about it. And I remember my son Solomon asking me, and he's here, Dad, is this church where we're going now, is that a perfect church? And I look at him, I say, no, son, it's not. It's not a perfect church. So why are we going? I told my son, because that's where we feel the Lord is leading us. And my brothers and sisters, once the first day we arrived to this place is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I never seen anything like it in 22 years that I was a believer. The Word of God began to penetrate deep in my heart, and I began to learn how to go over the wall that was blocking me, that was detaining me from making advances in the Lord. And as I listened to Pastor Tom and the assistant pastors preaching the word, my brothers and sisters, the Lord began to prepare my heart. All the way from the first day when the Lord saved me, the Lord gave me a dream. It was so real and so like a vision type, and I'll never forget that dream. I was in my hometown, in the downtown area. There's a big plaza there where everybody hangs out on Sundays to eat and to just to hang out. That's what everybody comes. And I remember I was preaching an evangelistic message, and the whole place was full with people, hundreds and hundreds of people. And when my wife and I got married, I shared that with my wife. She goes, "Well, we'll see what the Lord is going to do. We'll see what the Lord is going to do." I got saved in 1985. My wife got saved in 1883. So finally we come here. We're here, my brothers and sisters. And now the Lord has said, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. And you know what? I want you to fast forward to chapter 13 of the Gospel of the book of Acts. I'm sorry. Chapter 13 of the book of Acts. And this is what we read in the first verses here. "Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered," verse 2, "to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Now from chapter 9, from Paul's conversion up to chapter 13, probably 13 years, around 13 years time frame. So it took Paul about 13 years for the Lord to say, for the Holy Spirit, actually, as we read, "As they ministered to the Lord," verse 2, "and fasted, the Holy Spirit say, 'Now separate to me Barnabas Saul for the work which I have called them.'" 13 years. For me, it's been over 28 years. The Lord knows how and why. He knows. I was always waiting for that call. And I thank God that I came to this church. I thank God that he sent me to Calvary Chapel of Reno Sparks. Verse 3, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." They went with the blessings of the church, chosen by the Holy Spirit to do what? To do the work of the Lord. And that's how Paul's journey changed, see, from being a person who was persecuting the church. Now he became the very one whom he was persecuting. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. And there he goes onto his first missionary trip. And I want you to turn again to chapter 14, verse 26. And here we have in these verses that report that Paul is going to bring back to the church from that when they send them out. We read in verse 26 of chapter 14 of the book of Acts. "From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they have completed." Work completed. Work done. So now they are coming back to the sending church to give a full report of what the Lord did. And we read in verse 27, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles." So I want to say, my brothers and sisters, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here this evening. We're going to share with you what Jesus Christ, what the Holy Spirit, what God the Father, what your prayers did in Mexico during this month. And I thank you, my brothers. And I want to say something before we start with a slideshow. These faces, my brothers, that you're about to see, I ask one thing of you. Please do not forget them. Pray for them. And I'm going to share with you the reason why I'm saying this. Mexico. Well, we have two screens. Mexico, gospel for Mexico. I want you to know this, my brothers and sisters. When Brother Luke and Naomi came back from Asia, from India, I'm sorry, from India, and they shared with us all the things they saw. We were so amazed. My wife and I were so amazed. After they left our home, we began to share with our son, Abraham, what we heard about their experience in India. So as I was contemplating gospel for Asia, my son Abraham said, "Dad, why don't we just call Mexico gospel for Mexico? So we're going to call it GFM. And I told my son, "I like that." And I never thought of that. I told my son, "I really like that." So as we put in this together, he goes, "What do you think of that?" I said, "Go for it. I really like that." So anyway, gospel for Mexico. And that's how this is going to be known, by gospel for Mexico. Because you know what? It's time for Mexico to get saved. It's time for Mexico to get saved. Amen. Next, my brother. Here is the send out, my brothers. I want all of us to remember that you, my brothers, with Pastor Tom and the assistant pastors and elders, they laid hands on us and sent us out to the work of God, to do the work of God. And I thank God for this moment. I will never forget this moment. It's going to stay in my heart forever. Next. Now, I know that some of us were asking, where exactly is your hometown? Well, there you have it. There is the map of Mexico. There is Mexico City. And there's Guadalajara. So you're talking three hours driving distance from each city. And if you want to go to the Atlantic, you're talking another three and a half hours drive. Or to the Pacific, the same thing. Three and a half hours drive. That's how far it is. So we're in the middle. We're in the center. Now, weather is beautiful, 85, 87 degrees. Well, we were there. 60 to 70 humidity percent. Beautiful, right on. The only thing is that they don't have air conditioning, so it gets a little hot now and then. But that's where we are at. That's where we're going to be. That's where the Lord is sending us out. Tejaro, Michoacán. That's what it's called. Tejaro, Michoacán. Next. And there it is. There is Tejaro, Michoacán. Pastor Tom went to my house last year. We got together before we went to Costa Rica. So we got together, and he thought when he saw the picture that it was the town of Bethlehem in Israel. And it does. It looks like the town of Bethlehem. It's a beautiful town, green most of the time, year round. That's how you see it. It's green. It's beautiful. The mountains make it a little dry, but it's a beautiful town. And next. The little home that was waiting for us to live there for 26 days, to be more accurate, this is the living room, the dining room, I should say. Next. The little kitchen, a very small home, but you know what my brother, blood brother, did for us? He fixed this home so beautiful because we were coming. He fixed this home so beautiful. 2-3 days before we arrived, he finished fixing it for us. And when we arrive and we go, wow, we just praise God. Even the home where we stay, God took care of it. Such a beautiful place, such a relaxing place. Next. Now, we were driving to my hometown. It's a little dark. The picture didn't come out very, very good, but we are heading into my hometown. The house where we stay is 15 minute drive outside of my hometown, but we're coming into our hometown, to my hometown. Next. And that's dark again. Yeah. But anyway, doesn't look like the first picture we saw from my hometown. Okay, next. And here is where the good stuff begins. This is my sister, blood sister. Okay, she's older than me. She's been a believer for about 35 years. I believe with all of my heart that I came to Jesus because of her prayers. And now she was there, waiting and preparing everything for us to come. and do, conduct the Bible studies and all the meetings. Every time we met, she was always ahead of the game. She was ready. She was up early. She was cleaning that place up every single day. It smelled so good, beautiful. She did such an amazing job for the Lord. You know, when we arrived, I thought we were going to rent just that place. But right next to it, there was another empty space for us to rent. So I said, perfect, we need both places because we're going to have the adults and this place and the children on the other side. So the Lord even had those places ready for us, side by side. So the children will be next to their parents, just on the next door. Beautiful, beautiful. The first time we met, we had to rent tables and chairs. So I went and speak to the owner of this business, and we decided on a price. And he went ahead and delivered the tables for us. And him carrying the table is my nephew. He is my sister's son. So this is how we began our teachings here. Next. And here am I, you know, like we do in our home fellowships, say making copies for the songs and getting just the tables ready. And one thing we did while we were there, we provided the water. It was hot. There's not too much ventilation, air flowing in these rooms. So it's getting really hot, especially when everybody arrived. So we provided the water for everybody, the whole 20 times. We met 20 times in 26 days that we were there. And we provided, because it was a Bible study, so we provided notebooks, we provided pens, we provided all those things for everybody to have, because we knew that they were not going to have money to buy all that. So here we are preparing everything for the first night. This is the first night that we're going to meet. Next. And here we go. Here we are. There's sisters and there's more people on this side. Not everybody is here yet. But nevertheless, I began to instruct the people what we're going to be teaching of. And you know, before I went to Mexico, my wife and I were praying to God, Lord, what do you want us to teach in Mexico? Which book, Father, do you want us to teach to the people? So I have five different choices, and I brought all of them with me. Lord, you just guide us and direct us, and we will be teaching, Lord, whatever it is you want us to teach. And you know what the Lord put in our hearts? Discipleship. The Lord just put in my heart discipleship. These people need to be disciples. And I'm going to share with you why that was so important. And that's what I was explaining to them right there. I was explaining to them the importance of discipleship. It's a great commission. Go there unto all nations and make disciples. And disciple is a follower, a learner, someone who is learning about who? The person of Jesus Christ. So I was giving some instructions to the ladies. Next. And I was continuing. More people arrived. So I continue. I probably even repeat myself more than once because people were keep coming. Next. And now, since all the instructions were done, we began to worship. You know one thing we did in Mexico? I brought 24 songs with me, songs that we sing here, songs that we are very familiar with here. We sing them all the time. And I just love our music. I love the way we worship the Lord in this place. So I want Mexico to worship the Lord the same way. I just love the way we worship the Lord here. So what I did, I translated those songs, and I did everything so almost, I should say, 95%. And we, you know what? They learned 12 songs in 20 days that we met. And they were singing with us. They never heard songs like that before. But you can see their faces. They were so excited. They were so excited. The worship time, the worship part, they were so excited to be part of that. Next. There's more people here now. This might be a different day because my shirt is different color. And that's how I know I dress with a different shirt, different color every day. So your brothers and sisters don't think that it's all the same picture? See, So I got a cover on that. Beautiful time that we had with these people, brothers. Now you may ask me, who are these people? And that will be an excellent question to ask. Because these people here is a group of people who have no pastor. The organization whom they belong to, they send a pastor. It stays for about 2-3 months, and the pastor leaves. And he leaves everybody, all the sheep, just hanging there. Why? Because the pastors who come there, they probably come and looking for how to make a benefit. How to make a profit. How to make a living. And when they don't see that, they walk away. They don't even say anything. They just leave, grab their belongings and leave. So who are these people? These are people who love the Lord. And I'm going to say something to you, my brothers and sisters. There are Christians in this crowd. There have been Christians for 30, 40 years. And they don't know the ABCs when it comes to the Word of God. They've never been taught the Word of God. I was teaching them. And I said, would you please ask questions? I love to hear questions. And they say, they never ask questions. You know why they never ask questions? Because they don't know how to ask questions. Because they'd never been taught the Word of God. And that really broke our hearts. My wife and I, that really broke our hearts. To see how desperate their situation is. Next. Now there's when my wife comes in.
These are your children. I fell in love with them. And, of course, they were children of the adults. And they fell in love with me, too. They didn't want me to leave when I left. And I noticed they were very neglected. If the adults are, you can imagine the children. They were so happy to learn about Moses and how he was thrown in the river in a basket. I don't think they had ever heard that. A few of them, maybe a couple of them, had a Bible that had a picture, and they could find it, but they didn't know the story. It was, for me, it was being in heaven to tell them about Moses. And I taught them, I made a list of all the Bible verses, and they were my favorite. They were my favorite verses, and they were so happy to learn. And they learned them, and they were so excited to learn the Bible verses. I don't think they had ever paid much attention, even when they went with their parents to church, until we were there. Praise God.
Amen. Next. Now, the next speaker here, my wife, she recorded a little bit of the time of worship and one of our worship times that we had. So go ahead. Next. Oh, yes, it's the next one then. Next. It didn't play. It was supposed to be right next to that. Something happened. It didn't play. It didn't play. And I was excited to see that. Yeah, it didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. But here we are. We had Bible studies every evening from Monday through Friday. Every day. And at the very last teaching that we had, they told me we were going to ask you to teach us also on Saturdays. But they did not. But they were very close to say, would you please be here on Saturdays too? One thing that my wife and I did, before we come to the teachings every evening, I have family. So I cannot neglect my family. I had to go and spend time with my family. So first in the morning, we got up, our time with the Lord, our devotions. I need to prepare the teaching for that evening. I need to prepare the worship for that evening. So when we got all that out of the way, then around maybe 2 p.m., we leave our home. And it's time to go visit family. I'm here to teach the Word of God, but I don't want to neglect my family that needs the Lord. So that's what we did before the teachings. And after the teachings, it started at 6, and sometimes we stay there until 9 p.m., so it's not come in and out, no. We stay there for sometimes 3 hours. And after that, then my wife and I will go and continue to visit our families, my family, because we knew that they needed to hear from us too. And they needed us to be with them, spend time with them, eat with them, pray with them, share Christ with them, sit down and just relax for a few minutes with them. And we do that every single day next. And there are the children again. That's where my wife comes in again.
Here I have them. First of all, I need to mention to you, my brothers and sisters, that before we went on this trip, the Lord gave me, I feel like it's a vision. There's a big need for school in that area in Mexico. So I have them, after the lesson, I have them coloring, just coloring books, any pictures, any crayons. And they love that. But I noticed that a six-year-old, an eight-year-old didn't know how to write their names. And the six-year-old was not even in school. He couldn't even hold a pen. And I would teach him how to hold it, how to put it down on the paper. So that's what we're doing. And for some reason, the Lord was knew that I needed to know that those children need a school. So somehow, I don't know, the Lord's going to make it happen. There's going to be a school for children. The Lord knows. I don't know, but He knows. There's a big need for a school where they can learn secular classes and also the gospel, of course. That's what I learned, that the big need.
Next. One evening here after the teaching, everybody, we were just having such a good time, such a good fellowship, that we decided to come everybody together and take pictures of everybody. And as you can see, everybody's just having so much fun. Next. And here comes a good picture right there. The last picture, we were getting together, and I say something funny so everybody can hold their, they just start laughing. And it was really, really, really good time. The man that is next to me, him and I, we were friends when I was 14, 15 years old. So we were out there not doing anything good. He got saved 3 years ago. And praise God. Amen. I was so happy to see him at church, and he was shocked. He was shocked because I was no good for nothing. I was totally not good. I was a bad influence for him. And I remember mom and dad didn't want him to hang out with me. And I don't blame them. But he was shocked to see me and what the Lord has done in my life. He was shocked. But yes, he is still my best friend. And he's my brother in the Lord now. And you know what? He's coming to the United States this next month to visit his family here in Reno. So you're going to get to meet him. Next. Here's me. I feel sorry for my wife because she was the one in charge with taking pictures. And I cannot stop what I was doing to go take pictures of her because she was teaching the children at the same time I was teaching the studies. When she was not teaching the children, I was doing worship, so she was taking pictures. So I feel sorry for her that she's not in too many pictures. Next. Here we are singing again, singing songs to the Lord. Praise God. Next. Yes, it came to a point where we have to stand outside. A lot of people showed up. They were just loving it, loving the worship. When we see right in that place where we had the worship done, the sound just came out of that room so loud that all the neighbors will come out their homes and stand outside their homes just to listen to the music and to the worship. And I go, yes, Lord, yes, bring them out. I was excited. Next. You want to share something about the children? Remember?
This again, just a picture of the children.
What is that boy who took a bath? Where? Is he there?
The little boy on the next to the yellow shirt, the blue shirt. That little boy is 6 years old, and he's the one that I learned that he doesn't know how to hold a pencil. One day, I don't know if it was that day, but he came and I told the children, you can call me teacher, you can call me sister, you can call me Rosario. And they all chose to call me teacher. they felt comfortable with that. And one day he came in, the little boy next to the one with the yellow shirt, and he said, teacher, I took a shower, I took a bath. And I said, you did? He said, yes, in the pond. That broke my heart and it made me laugh been in the pond swimming, and he got clean clothes. That he did. He was so excited that he made it to the study.
Probably a little puddle of water. That's where he took a bath. Next. Here we go, more worship. They just, like I said, they learned 12 songs in 20 times that we met. And they were just loving singing songs to the Lord. Next. You know, this is a very traditional dish that we eat in Mexico. And my sister prepared that for us, for my wife and I. That was so good. If in the future, and I know the Lord is going to send mission teams to Mexico, I'm going to ask my sister to prepare that for you. You're going to love that. It's good. It's not very spicy, but if you want it spicy, we can make it spicy too. Next. Here we go again, singing songs to the Lord. That's one thing that we did every day, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you've ever been through a study every day from Monday to Friday, 2-3 hours a day. I have not until then. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Next. There's the children. You remember their names?
The girls on the side, they're sisters. The older one is Emily.
Left or right?
On the right. Mm-hmm. And the little one on the left is Sophia. Those two little girls were so faithful. They I think they only missed once because they had homework. And their grandma was bringing them to the study. And they were the ones that were very, extremely excited about what they were learning. They would go home and repeat everything to their parents and grandma, of course. And that's how I knew that they were so excited about what they were learning.
Next. And this is the couple that are going to come next month to visit us. They were excited to come. They were thinking to come and not. But when we said come, when they met us, now they want to come. You know why they want to come? Because they want to meet you. They are so excited. You know one thing I love to do? I love to speak so highly of my church wherever I go. I love to do that. I love to do that. And I say that in front of anybody. I love to speak well of my church. Next. That's the same couple, my friend, that is coming. Next. My wife loves chicken, so yeah, go ahead.
The reason why I took this picture is because I like roosters and chickens, and also to give you a feel of the town. They just roam freely on the streets, and as you saw the paper's picture, there's a horse walking by, and you see a lot of horses every day down the street, up and down, and that's the life. It's a rural town.
Next. Here we go again. More worship. Next. I think this is the last night that the night before we left Mexico, we went to say goodbye to my family, and this is my brother's family, one of my brother's family. Next. That's the home that we bought. That's a two-story home. I want to thank you for your prayers because of that home. It was amazing how the Lord had this home already for us. Even before we leave, the man who sold us the home was already waiting for us. I get to meet with this man. I spoke to him about 3 hours the first time we met. We didn't speak anything about the house. He just wanted to know about Jesus. And I love to talk about Jesus, so we spent the whole 3 hours talking about Jesus. He was not a believer. I want to say that. He was not a believer when we arrived. But when we left and come back to the United States, he said to my wife and I, when you come back and start your church, we want to be members of your church. So praise God. Praise God. Next. This is my brother. He's younger than me. And we are in the hospital right here, right now. There was this morning. The night before, we spent that evening with them after the teachings. And the next morning, we left their home late. The next morning, their phone rang, and we heard that his wife, my sister-in-law, was very ill. She had a stroke. So they call us up. We're coming. So I said to my wife, let's go. We got to be with this family. We went to the hospital, pray. This family are not believers, okay? So in our way to the hospital, pray. As I told the family, I asked the family, we need to pray now. So we bow our heads. We pray. And I see my brother crying as I pray. And it was just a miracle how this whole thing happened. They found a tumor. Her right hand, she cannot move. She cannot speak. her right leg, she cannot move. By the time we arrived to the hospital, she began to speak after the prayer. She went in 2 weeks, had a surgery, removed the tumor in 2 weeks next. That's 3 days after the surgery. 3 days after the surgery. God is good. God is awesome. 3 days after the surgery. Is it 2 or 3 days?
It was about 3.
3 days after surgery. She was just talking to everybody and doing almost like everybody like nothing had happened. Praise God for that. And we felt like the Lord just touched this family through this. Because God was there. We were there praying, encouraging the family. So it was just beautiful. Next. And this is when she came home. We prepared her room with balloons and decorated the room for her. And that's her husband right there, just covering her head. Because her 2 children, their birthday was that day. So she need to, you know, get ready to meet people to come into her house. Next. And there is my wife. With her. And part of the family. Next. This is the sad part. This is when we got to say goodbye. We're leaving. So as you can see, I'm sitting down. My wife decided to stand up, take a picture. The ladies, the sisters were crying. They say, what are we going to do now? And that was not an easy answer for me to answer. An easy question. What are we going to do now? They ask. So all I did was I took him back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is what I pray and I want and I pray that you do. Get together, pray, encourage one another, study God's word. That's the best that I can do for them. Because they knew we were coming back to the States. They cry. And one of them stood up. You know, when one of the person stands up or speak up, that's speaking for the whole group. And this is what she said. Told your church that we love them. Told the church that we wish we were there where they are at. It must have been such a beautiful place to be. She said, crying, I wish I can be there with you to serve God with this congregation, with this church. It's got to be so beautiful. The things you tell us about your church. I told them that all the church was praying for Mexico and for them 24 hours. And that was true. So they were amazed to hear that. They never heard that before. Next. This is the coming back. They took us to the bus depot. And there is the bus that was going to take us back to Guadalajara. And from Guadalajara, we flew back to Mexico. To the United States. And my brothers, that is the report that we brought to you. I pray, my brothers, that God will speak to you hard, individually and corporately. And my brothers, as God speak to our hearts, I pray that your hearts will be open to him. Just ask the Lord to guide you and lead you. The home that we bought, we're going to use that. It's a 5-bedroom home right now. But we're going to build the third floor, and we're going to make that a 9-bedroom home. And that's where the mission teams are coming. My wife and I, God gave us the home, so we're going to give it back to the Lord. We gave it back to the Lord. And that's where the teams are coming and stay. We're going to fix that place up. And that's where the church is going to start.